Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maybe at 81.50. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. I know you chuckle a bit. I know this is one of the favorite parts of your show. I know you say, oh, here it comes. But yes, a reminder that temperature control is definitely one of the most valuable resources one could have. And if you agree, then I know that you know DFH Company is the company for you. Just dial 968-6222. Or you can look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Look into the Mitsubishi Mini Split, like the one we have in our studio, in the 93.9 studio, aka the Players Club. The Mitsubishi Mini Split and the temperature control is definitely an MVP here. 968-6222 or look them up online at dfhcompany.com.
Also, I hate that I'm missing it, but I have to give a shout-out to Wingzone. Thanks to Adam and his staff for dropping off Wingzone Catering to ESPN Louisville Studios. Try the ESPN Louisville special. That's 10 boneless wings, wedges, and a drink for only $9.39. Just mention ESPN Louisville. It's good 7 days a week. Or try the $9 lunch specials. You can order online at wingzone.com. They have two area locations, Hikes Point and Poplar Level Road at Quarry Center. So get out and try it, man. It's good.
Okay, so this is what happens. We do like to teach everyone to learn to smell roses, anticipate the smelling of the roses, and really take your time doing that, because you can't be a doomsday scroller and be a functional citizen and have fun, you know, in your life. You'll be taken advantage of. So, Steve, I asked a question. It was kind of rhetorical. It was one of those you can answer if you'd like, but you'll get my point. During the name, image, and likeness lead up, I personally found it almost distasteful to listen to the unimaginable ways it can go wrong. I mean, how the kids are gonna choose to spend their money. Well, what if they're wrong on their taxes? And what if they get jealous of each other's teammates and then it causes, you know, friction? What if their family just takes the money from them and steals from them? And some of the things I'm listening, and these suggestions are coming from otherwise rational adults, and I'm saying the simplicity of they already have these kind of problems. You can replace money with they're jealous over who gets more girlfriends or coach showing, feeling like coach is showing favorites. These are all existing problems. But to apply these problems to name, image, and likeness, like it's an entirely new field of unexplained, you know, teammate issues or unexplainable, or they're going to ruin the game. And just the lack of, hey, financial education should be a part of the Louisville experience. They should be allowed to screw up some money before they actually make some money and have to screw up the first adult money everybody gets. These are important lessons. Managing somebody in the office may do less, may not be as good as you, but they get paid more because they kiss up. Or aren't these real life problems? Somebody in your office, on your team, hey, he only averages, you know, 10 points a game, and he's getting deals from so-and-so, and I do more work at the office than this person, and they, you know, because they kiss up to the boss, or because they, you know, look good, or you, this is all stuff that has been here from the beginning of sports. So it was personally distasteful when you didn't balance it out. Like, I understand it's everybody's job to talk about how many things could go wrong, but it's also your job to talk about things that can go right. So, Steve, we've been listening to local sports, not even local sports, national sports, right? Would it be fair to say that for the most part, we've been surprised at the Johnny Juzangs, the Kofi Coburns, the Hunter Dickinsons? These are three players that were on the national stage big time last year. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Like out of 20 players, Kofi Coburn, Hunter Dickinson, and Johnny Juzang were stars at some point of the season.
Absolutely.
They've all announced they were coming back to school. Under the previous regime, Marcus Carr, Kofi Coburn, Hunter Dickinson, and Johnny Juzang, there's no way they would come back to school. Because the reputation is you got to strike while the iron's hot. You don't want to lose any money by skipping. So it was worth the risk to
and
fail.
And Johnny Juzang was the story of the tournament.
Right.
Do you agree?
Yeah. No. Listen.
Yeah.
The in the previous way of thinking, if you have a good tournament, you go, because you'll never be any hotter.
Yeah.
You know, just you're almost feared into taking a risk, even if you didn't think you're ready. So, Steve, here we are on Thursday, July 8th. I want the story of how college basketball is going to return to the glory days, because the product of college basketball just got 10 of its superstars back in college, right? We sometimes, even as cruel as we can be, Steve, sometimes we talk to Kentucky fans, and when we talk to Kentucky fans, we said, y'all, I know it's fun with your one and dones, but it's really fun to watch a baby girl on your program. It's really fun to get to watch a player start off like Russ Smith. Just sit the bench, come in the game, make a mistake, get snatched out by the coach, watch him handle the adversity, right?
Right.
And then watch him come back the next year better, hungrier, you know, developed. You know, we and people, oh, y'all are just saying that because you don't have any one and dones. Listen, everybody likes talent, but your program love when you get to watch your kids grow for 3 years and you get a player like a Hunter Dickinson who you know. And not just 1 year and he's out. No, I know him. I know things about him. I've listened to Jeff Greer's Floyd Street Pod. I know these guys, and they're coming back. And now I get to know them. And see, that kind of stuff is what makes a Louisville player's value to the community elevated. Because we've seen him. We know him.
Right.
We know. He's talked to our media enough to know this is a guy that I want in my city. I want this guy in my program. I want this guy, you know, in advertising and partnerships and all that good stuff. This is good. This is a big deal for the long term. Now, listen, there's caveats. The NCAA could drop the ball, screw it all up, and you know, and I mean big picture.
Right.
But shouldn't people be talking about this may save college sports by letting them do that? You keeping superstars for more years in college and letting them grow. It might improve the NBA again because you have guys that can work on their craft and be ready. You remember how we talked about how it was cool when the video games kind of let you take your college player and then take them to the Madden? You know, it was like, no, you get to one of the first, and when they start doing legacy modes and you got to grow your player and then grow them 3 years, then grow them to the pros. Like, that's your player. People fall in love with, you know, with two seasons of having a fantasy football player.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
No, like, absolutely.
Yeah. So you get my point is, what do you say to the idea that something like this, as many negative ways as it was spoken about, name, image, and likeness leading up, do you think these guys returning to school is a product of, okay, I can put myself in a better position now? You know, you want to know something I was listening to yesterday that where this thought was first sparked? I was listening to Larry Johnson. People don't know that name. If you were a kid, he was the guy who did Grandmama commercials when you were a youngin', right?
Do people not know Larry Johnson?
You'd be surprised sometimes, Steve. They might know Grandmama more than they know Larry Johnson.
Fair enough.
Larry Johnson had that awesome run with that amoeba defense at UNLV.
Right.
Larry Johnson came out of junior college. He won the championship that first year, right?
Yeah.
You want to know why he came back to school?
I'm listening.
Because his mom wasn't wanting for nothing, and he enjoyed college.
Yeah.
It's unheard of to go from a junior college, go to UNLV, win a championship, and come back to school because you took the edge off. My mom's straight, you know. I don't mind being here another 8 months. I don't mind doing another year here at Louisville. You know, now you get a chance to, you know, to reappreciate the college experience, the athlete experience.
So especially if you like where you live, because, I mean, when you get drafted, man, you don't know where you're going to get sent. I mean, you know, I mean, he went from Vegas, a place he might have really enjoyed, to Charlotte.
Right. Right.
You know,
he was doing an interview talking about
Charlotte, you know? I mean, the city itself. I mean, I don't know, you know, but.
So do you get my point at how massive of a benefit this could be?
Oh, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Because I don't know that all the guys that came back come back without the NIL.
Not even a percentage of them. With the year Hunter Dickinson had, there's no way he would, in my opinion, unless he felt like, you know, and Hunter Dickinson, I don't want to do this, Steve, because it's a cliche thing that we always defend against. We should never just assume Hunter Dickinson's situation is good and Marcus Carr's situation is bad. So
even though DeMath, you know, Hunter Dickinson.
right.
Just kind of comes off like he's probably doing okay.
Right. So, you know, so I'm not going to, you know, attribute people's situations by player in specific.
Sure.
But
you never know. Yeah.
Yeah. But if Carly Jones, if you wound a year and Carly had name, image, and likeness for this last year.
Yeah.
How does he feel about taking this risk if he had $130,000 over the course of the year in his bank account?
Right. I mean, and technically, like, he could have come back for the NIL, but I think that there's so much question for a guy like him.
Right.
I mean, being older.
Yep. But what I'm saying, it would have been early on, it would have been more of a thought. It would have been a comfortable, now I can really take my time, and it's not a pressure
filled. He would have been making deals towards the end of the year and stuff. Like, okay, here's my decision coming up. Coach, like, you know, okay, I'm looking, or my agent, you know, I'm assuming he probably would have hired an agent. Like, okay, my agent, like, what are we looking at next year if I come back as opposed to what I may make G League or, you know, or whatever,
right.
You know, overseas, wherever I decide. And again, I say this all the time. It's not easy to just jump on a plane and fly 15 hours overseas. And be like, oh, you know, people are like, oh, I just go overseas. Oh, well, okay.
Just go overseas. It's like, do you even know how to drive a stick? You know what I'm saying? Like, because right. They don't have automatics in a lot of places.
Because, see, because I'll just be truthful. For Steve Rummage, that wouldn't be an option. I'm not going overseas and playing.
Right.
No, I don't want to live overseas. I'll just have to figure out something else to do. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I think there's other people that are like that.
Yeah, I would have hated it had I not experienced living in other countries growing up.
I was going to say, but see, for every person you hear overseas, I mean, I know people, I know a couple guys personally, I wasn't going to mention their name, but that went overseas and it didn't last long. It broke them, man. It was like, I hate being over here. I'm anxious. My family's not around here. I don't know where I'm going. I can't understand anybody over here except my teammates. So this was kind of the phrase given to me by one person was, I literally only feel safe, not for your safety, but
it's like just, comfortable. Yeah.
It's comfortable is when I'm with my team because I feel like that I have a little bit of conversation between them, you know?
Right.
So it's like, yeah, it's like, okay, I get that, man. Like, I do understand that. So
what are some of the other unintended benefits of name, image, and likeness and the college game?
How much benefit?
Yeah, like, okay. are there some other benefits outside of just wanting to stay in school or being willing to stay in school longer?
I'm trying to figure out how to answer that.
Yeah, because here's the thing. I know you can just automatically apply. Well, all the benefits of staying in school apply if name, image, and likeness can keep you in school longer. I could say growth, maturity, you know, relationships with the community.
Well, I heard Drew talking yesterday, and I mean, this is one thing I totally agree with him on. It's like, don't even come at me with the arguments of the arguments of there's no what am I trying to say? That they're going to blow their money or whatever, because I mean, I think that it's a real, I mean, I think this is the best quote unquote class of life you could have as an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because I say this all the time and you've experienced it too. It takes a second for athletes to mature because look, here's the thing. If I was a big-time athlete in high school, I probably didn't have a job. And if I had a job, it was what I did. And I loved, like, working at Cart Country and stuff. But, like, they worked with our schedules, though. That's why we all worked there.
Right.
Because they were athletic involved with the school and stuff.
I didn't like working at the burger joint Susie Q's.
Yeah, right. But that's my point, though. Like, you know, it's like you probably didn't really have a job because you didn't have time for a job in high school.
Right.
If you okay, then you got to college. You can't have a job there, you know. And now you get out of college, and it's like, okay, even if you're in the NFL or the NBA or you're not doing either one, it's like life comes at you fast. You don't know what 1099s are and things like you know, W-2s and all this stuff. You're like, wait a minute.
Union fees?
Yeah.
Coach.
You have no idea.
Coach. Hold on. Coach. Crum. What is wrong with you?
I'm listening.
Young Marcus. Summer one. Hey, Coach. You know where I can go look, you know, to get a little summer job, put some money in my pocket? Yeah, maybe you should. He might have told me to ask Coach Jones or something, right? Just pointed me in a direction to look to get a job for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know what my summer job was? as a student, as a basketball player for the University of Louisville, will you please take one guess, Steve? Because I just want to hear a random job.
What your job was?
My summer job after my first year as a University of Louisville basketball player.
Selling cars.
Close.
Okay.
Nikki, can you give me a guess?
International man of mystery. Assassin.
A little further, but still on the same path. I was at Ford, Steve.
Not Ford.
Ford, the plant. They gave me a job.
Wow. Okay.
Not only was I at Ford, the plant.
Putting fenders on, Focuses or?
So much worse.
Ooh.
Steve, I want you to think about a construction plant, a Ford construction plant, just the commercial of the plant, right? And the assembly lines and the people and the good old workers and all. Steve, they gave me a job at Ford, and I had to join the union. Steve, I had to have the thick jeans on. I had to have the steel toe, manufactured boots. I had the works, hard hat, clothes on. It was the summer. It was 197 degrees during the day, Steve. I had to drive all the way out to, I didn't even know my way around this. I had to drive out to that plant. From campus every day to a job, Steve. You know what they had me doing? Sweeping up the hot, sizzling, scalding shavings that were falling from the machines. So piles of smoldering shrapnel is falling and at my feet, and it's like that stuff is touching the tip of your boots. And Steve, he hated me. Whoever got me that job, they hated me, right?
Right.
Was he trying to make me a tougher, more responsible? In hindsight, I should have kept that job.
Ford's a good company.
Right.
Ford's a real good company.
Right, in hindsight. But I'm like, Coach, when I said I needed a job, this is not what I meant.
Can't I work the front desk at a gym or something like that? Or I don't know. I mean, maybe sell ice cream.
I thought I would be working the front desk at a women's tennis facility.
Yeah, perfect. That's perfect.
That would be fair enough. Yeah,
not
absolutely.
Ford Motor Company.
Say hello to the
plant.
Yeah, tennis moms and
Listen, Steve, I had real lunch breaks in the lunchroom with sandwich-eating Americans who looked the part, Steve.
Yeah.
I'm just like, this is way too adult for me, Steve. Are we?
Yeah.
Listen.
You might have been decked out in cardinal red, but you were blue-collar.
Oh, no. I was blue-collar in the blue-collar environment. Steve, I lasted 10 days, maybe.
Yeah.
Fattest check you ever seen in your life.
Right.
But 10 days, right? But Steve, you know what made me hit the wall? And I just thought about this because when we talked about jobs and you're not able to work. And Steve, you know what pushed me over the edge? I said, I can't do this.
Right.
I had to play basketball for the night games. Our night runs on campus were about 8, 9 o'clock. So I was getting off of work at 7. Takes 40 minutes to get back to campus, right? And when you get back to campus, you get something to eat, and then I'm supposed to play real pickup with the team. Our night games were about 8, 9 o'clock. My knees hurt because I've been on the hardest cement that you imaginable. That cement was so hard it can't be burnt through by hot steel shavings. So that's how hard that cement was that I was walking around on. I'm in evening games. They about dunking on me and everything.
Yeah.
So listen, before I hit the commercial break, Do you agree Crum hated me?
It sounds like it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe was he trying to, like, was he trying to teach you a lesson or something?
I need to go find out. Go grab that real quick before I hit the commercial break. I'm going to find out. You know what? I'm going to find out whose idea it was that they thought that was a good idea. I mean, maybe I just looked like I needed money so bad. Maybe I gave him the puppy dog. I need a job so bad because I'm struggling. Like, I didn't mean to say, like, I'm struggling to feed a family of eight.
Yeah.
I just need a little extra coin in my pocket. Let me get to the phone line. Sandra, thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
Description of you and your little job at Ford. And I can't get over the fact that you let a job in a manufacturing environment punk you out. Just completely punk you out. All these dunks you do or did, and you can't handle sweeping the floor. You know how many people put their kids through college and provided great lifestyles for their families doing that work? But here you are, Mr. Dunker. You can't sweep.
Listen, no, Sandra, I'm right. I'm sorry. You're right, and I'm wrong. I knew how pathetic it was at the time. So I didn't do it with my head held high. I shamefully quit that wonderful Ford job. And when I saw that check, I was really like, hold on, Marcus. Maybe we need to call them back up and say, you know, maybe I had a family emergency or something. And those days I missed, that was an accident, because this check is serious.
Especially with Ford being such a big employer in Louisville, those jobs were, like, hard to come. Like, so many people tried to get on at Ford, and they couldn't. Here you are, Mr. Marcus Mabin.
Listen. I thought it was disrespectful at the time, to be honest.
All right, I just wanted to tease you a little bit.
You too. I appreciate the call. I mean, listen, I realized the error in my ways, you know, but at the time, which is the point to the name, image, and likeness. These are lessons that must be taught, that must be learned, and I got all these years to kick myself for doing that. Go ahead.
Well. Here's the thing. That is that's great, and that sounds like the toughest job in the world, but I will retort with, I think the toughest job in the world is keeping track of a 2-year-old. So with that being said,
take the last off, Steve.
I'm going to allow you and Nikki to just have all the mic time you want in the last 30 minutes here, or 25, or whatever we're at.
Fair enough.
And I will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Listen, it was a very strong effort, but we'll take our last commercial break. Middays with Marcus Mabin on 93.9 The Ville. Middays with Marcus Mabin. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. I feel attacked. I feel judged. Rightfully so. So this is the time for y'all to get all of your jokes off. The YouTube channel is pretty funny. My DM is pretty funny. I think my fellow Ford plant workers, my Ford co-workers, I think they've lost a little little confidence in your boy Mabin a little. So who do you got on the line? Chaz, thanks for joining us on Middays with Marcus Mabin. Fire away, my man.
Hey, Marcus, I was just listening to you about your summer job. The summer job you missed out on is a little hidden gem, is being a lifeguard at Hurricane Bay as a student athlete. I'm telling you now, that is the job to have. I'll hang up and listen. Have a good one, guys.
No, listen. That's what I was expecting, Chaz. A lifeguard. I would have took the little 10-hour class, and
I would have lifeguarded Hurricane Bay all day long.
Learned a little CPR. Yeah. Learned some life. You know, that's something that you could use whenever.
Yeah. Like, no, I did not. I'm sorry. And here's the thing. The janitorial work was, it was a little, okay, Final Destination. Everybody has a little bit of that in them. It was my nightmare that a hot shaving would fall down my shirt, down my back.
Oh, yeah.
Of a hot shaving.
Yeah, that.
That wasn't going to happen, right? It wasn't going to happen. But just, I'm sweeping up things and I have soft shavings fall from the machines. It just, what if one, like, caught a little, you know, got some lift, you know, just popped. That was just one of my nightmares, right? But sweeping up those piles, it wasn't horrible work. But I had to do it across the entire. Those plants are miles, are square miles. They're huge. But it was just like, when I got out of that place, my knees hurt so bad. And maybe if I would have got adjusted after a while, like maybe I stand. Actually, you know, they say you're not supposed to lock your knees, right?
Yeah, right. You're supposed to have a little give.
Yeah. And I was probably locking my knees, running my mouth. I was probably doing everything. A ignorant young man would. And you gotta remember, too, people, before y'all judge me too harshly, I was in Sports Illustrated as one of the top 10 returning shooting guards in the country. So pardon me if Ford and long-term family planning wasn't on my mind at the time. It wasn't. I did not expect to be a 30-year Ford plant employee. Jeez. So yeah, I do feel the judgment. I can handle the judgment, everybody. You can remind me as often as you like. Yes, I lasted 10 days. Check was humongous.
It's a great company to work for, man.
Great. Shout out to Ford, all the plants. I enjoyed my time there. I didn't have the intestinal fortitude to survive. Okay, so here's the thing. I want to do just a complete shift change in this conversation. Now, Nikki, I don't know if you heard Drew and Mark this morning, but they stumbled on a subject that I have to get this one off my chest before I get to, there's a conversation, there's a Jarrett West conversation, a real basketball conversation. Steve was wanting to get to, we had it on today's docket, but we didn't get that far before he had to check out or tap out. They were having a conversation about traditions and awesome traditions. And I heard him talking about the guy at Freedom Hall that used to run back and forth and know, it was awesome. And you know, they were just talking about,
was there a guy that would do like gymnastics like on a guardrail or something like that? Like back,
no, he used to stand up on the guardrail but I think you're combining the guy who used to run back and forth and then so you know, they were talking about those traditions and you know, I heard everybody say, oh, we need to bring back this and need to bring back that. And I got to tell you, man, if nobody texted or called or mentioned this tradition, then I have never been more disappointed in a fan base in my life. If anybody remembers that damn Cardinal bird falling from that ceiling and swinging back and forth before those games. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I was a recruit in that gym against Boston College, and that bird was swinging back and forth, rocking that crowd. And I looked over at my mom, and she grabbed my arm. My mom has no idea who Denny Crum is, no Scooter McCrae's, no Griff's, and no, she doesn't have any idea of anything other than she likes watching basketball. The way my mom grabbed my arm and started just clapping like she was a 50-year Cardinal fan when that bird came swinging down from that ceiling. Had you ever saw that up close?
I never saw the swinging Cardinal bird. No, that was I missed out on that.
Is Is there? Okay, that's my number one.
My first Cardinal game I can remember at Freedom Hall was, I think, like 2005.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
2004, 2005, and I don't remember seeing it. Yeah, it was a blizzard. It was like, shout out to my guy Billy McNichol, because he was the only band member that made it. They were playing like Fairfield or something like that, and it was a blizzard. There were like 14 people in attendance because, I mean, seriously, yeah, literally everyone got stuck in the parking lot.
Yeah, you weren't supposed to be there.
Yeah, no, but yeah, me and a couple friends went, and yeah, that was my first game I remember. I was like a sophomore in high school or whatever.
Yeah, like Nikki. They used to, the Lever Point was dead center Freedom Hall. And I'm telling you, when I say that thing came, it was way over there. So when it came loose, it was whoosh. And he looks pumped up. And that thing was swinging back and forth. It was heart racing to watch this gymnastics level event. I mean, this is Cirque du Soleil level.
Yeah, really.
Swinging. And they used to do it for the home games. And it's just like, and we're supposed to be like listening to coach. You know, he's supposed to, you know, a lot of times during those huddles, all the theatrics are going on. Coach Crum is talking to you. You know, he's like, you know, don't get distracted. We're turning around, Nikki. Like, hold on, coach. Like, dance team and the Cardinal bird coming out of the ceiling. Those two, like, coach. Not right now.
yeah, high ball screen. Got it. Yeah, great. Yeah, okay.
right. Yeah, guard cut, weak side low. Yeah, we all know that play. That's what we're going to open up. I heard you, coach. Wait. Let's watch this. But, yeah, that was, like, the most awesome tradition, and I hope somebody mentioned that. Okay, serious conversation. We got to talk about it. Instagram post. This was Steve's point, so I'll pass it along. We in the media don't like to acknowledge something like this, but – following Instagram and the players and the coaches, you get to enjoy the building of the relationships a lot more. So much is like, you know how you use the word transparent with the, okay, Coach Mack stopped sending the whole team, making the whole locker room available to the, you know, to the media. But if you follow I just got that text. Shout out, Jason. Listen, if you went from, I'll make this point, I'll grab Rob. If you went from being in the locker room to now having to follow these young men and coaches on social media, if you were honest with yourself, you would have to admit you're probably getting more out of their social media and their interactions than you got sticking a microphone in their face. Because most, like I said, I do get the personal connection and the little side note stories and the thing. They reveal a lot about their, you know, themselves and their relationships on their social media. Somebody was asked a question. I'm not sure how I feel about the answer. Part of it worries the bejesus out of me, this response. The other part, it's part of the process, the growth process. I'm not sure which is which. I'm going to need your help on that one. We have Ross hanging on line one. Thanks for joining us, Ross, on 93.9. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on?
Feeling good.
I want to call from the beaches of Destin. Just letting you know I'm still holding on down here.
Right.
And humble brag. And I wanted to give some shout-out to Steve for doing his best dad impression, The Incredibles 2, when he's being a stay-at-home dad and trying to, you know, keep baby Jack in line.
Right. Because that's exactly what he is.
That was good, man. I didn't personally ever get to see the Cardinal fall from the rafters, but I have seen videos of it, you know, looking like Sting in WCW coming out of the rafters. And I'm with you. I wish they would bring that back at the football games. Maybe have a Cardinal jump out of a plane in a, you know, parachute right into the stadium. I think that would be awesome.
Right.
And I think Nikki is actually right. The dude used to do handstands on the rail, and he used to, like, actually lean even backwards towards – he used to stand on it, but he used to do handstands too.
Really?
I can't remember the – yeah. He can't think of the dude's name right now, but he works for, like, one of the banks here in town, like – PNC Bank, or I don't know, but yeah, no, that dude did like handstands on the rail, man. He was like wild. So my buddy had season tickets net forever, like right next to him. So you were too busy, you know, playing though, so you couldn't really see it. So.
Listen, fair enough.
So, anyways, man, I'm gonna get off here. I'm gonna go try to cap off this tan before we leave, and go Cards, go Kroger.
Absolutely, I appreciate the call. Yeah, good call on that one. So, yeah, okay. So I didn't know about the handstand.
The only reason I know, I don't remember seeing that either, because I think that was even before the I like the Sting reference, the swinging cardinal bird. But I remember reading a story about it not long ago, and yeah, I think he does live locally here.
Okay. Yeah. So fair enough. Let me get to this one basketball point. Okay, so everybody knows, like, I know you're tired of hearing me say that I am a big proponent of the dunk shot. Psychologically, physically, intimidation, I need the dunk. I need the dunk on the team. I need the transition. I need the efficient finish of the dunk. I need that in my life. I've talked about we need a pogo stick guy to – there's nothing better for a zone break than a guy that can catch an alley-oop. There's nothing better for a press break. Listen – you can beat a press, and if it ends with a layup, you know what the coaches, the opposing coach, you know what they go? Damn it, right? We'll get them next time. If you press a team, and that press ends with a guy hanging on the rim, pointing back at half court to the guy who just threw him the lob, you know what the coach does? Timeout. It feels different. You put pressure on somebody. Like I said, if you go pass, and the guy gets a layup, it's like, okay, you know, we're all right. We'll get him next time. But if somebody goes, it just dunks it, and the crowd's roaring, it's like, yeah, we're not pressing anymore.
Was that because it's more of like a busted coverage?
It looks worse. It puts pressure on the other team. They start yelling at each other. You know what I'm saying? The alley-oop finish is worth more than 2 points. Don't ever say that around me. 2 points. No, it's not. Coach Crum used to call a missed shot. I learned this from him. Coach Crum used to call any missed shot his math was like, Marcus, that's a 7-point swing. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We got the ball. You take a bad shot. You miss the shot. Then they score. And then they have the ball. And then your teammate is going to take a bad shot on the next possession. So now we've had 3 bad shots because you took the bad shot. And now we're down 10. Coach, we were up 2 when I shot that.
He's like, whoa, wait a minute now.
Right. That's how his math used to be about a bad shot. 1 bad shot, right? So if Coach Crum could do one shot is not worth 1 shot, then I can do it. So the reason I say all this, y'all, there's a point to this. Instagram. Jared West was asked on his Instagram, who's the best lob catcher? J.J. Trainer, J.J. Trainer, Jalen Withers, or Mike James? I want you to think about that. We're going to take this phone call really, really quick. And think about that answer. Text, or if you're on YouTube, you can shoot it in right now. Doc, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away, my man.
So the point that is even missed sometimes about the value of that dunk, especially on fast break, when that ball goes through the hoop and through the net, it's not going to be turned around in a real quick fast break coming back in the other direction like Carolina likes to do after made left, where you can just step out of bounds and bounce the ball right away. When they got to go get that ball after it went through the net and is bounced around somewhere behind the baseline, you have that other team slow down.
Yes. Yes. So that's a 12-point swing when you dunk it. Yeah, the ball has to get kicked out of bounds, and we have to reset the whole play. Doc, I appreciate the call. You also made me think of something. This is what doesn't go into the picture. And the Cardinal fan, you've noticed, so you might roll your eyes. You know what this? I don't know what to call him. I want to call him something slick but not demeaning. You know what Coach Crum used to do, Nikki?
What's that?
This is why I get mad at people who talk crap about coaches. You know what Coach Crum used to do? Get the extra long, extra thick cotton nets so the ball would get stuck in the net. You know, you see a ball go in, and sometimes the guy has to, like, pop it out the net.
Yeah.
He would purposely, if the ball was going through the nets way too easy, he would get the nets changed. So when guys like try to run by a made shot and just try to grab the ball and get in, we needed that extra 1 second to set up a full court press. So he would intentionally do, you know.
Really?
Yes. And I'm like, people sit around and, why don't they just get new nets? And the ball's getting stuck in the net. Yes, jackass. That's why we have the best press in the nation. You know what I'm saying? That's a
little bit of gamesmanship there.
That's a 17% advantage on speed and setting up in a full court press. You know what I'm saying? On something that minor. It's a sanctioned net. It's a sanctioned net, but when it's new, it puts up a little more resistance to the basketball. So, like, imagine listening to people criticize a coach who literally thinks of every little minute detail.
That's pretty brilliant.
All day long. And then you're like, this guy can't coach basketball. He doesn't. Jared West, who's the best alley-oop catcher? Jalen Withers, J.J. Trainer, or Mike James?
I'm going to go with J.J. Trainer.
J.J. Trainer was. He said that's the only guy I've connected on an alley-oop with.
Really?
I don't like that.
That's.
But I love that J.J. Trainer is the guy because he's my athlete.
Right.
He has the biggest ceiling. He's the athlete. If he knows to expect the alley-oops, we're going to get J.J. Trainer on that court a lot.
But we didn't yesterday with the whole dunking discussion. He kind of he had his own category. He was sort of like, because it was the frustration of, are we going to see him? Blah, blah, blah. But yeah,
he was low on the basketball IQ list. But if he is able to convert alley-oops at a high rate, he is going to skyrocket up that board. I got 10 things I didn't get to because we just have too much fun sometimes. Don't worry about that. I won't take the whole time. As always, 8150-939 is the number. 3831-939 is the text line. The YouTube channel is made for the Ville. Middays with Marcus Maven on 939 The Ville.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.